So the last two parakim we were on quite a long tangent about gemilus chasadim by chasnas and by opposite by levayas, and that was really it came because we were talking about the creation of Adam and Chava and how Hashem was gemil chasadim to Adam and Chava by their chasna. So really, we're talking about Bris Ha'ilam. So we're going to continue speaking about Bris Ha'ilam after the creation of Adam and Chava. This parak is going to be about Inyanim of Shabbos Kodesh. This parak and the next parak is going to be about Shabbos Kodesh. But the parak begins with a more general machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Bris Ha'ilam. And I don't think we're going to get to the Shabbos parts this week. So probably next week we'll start talking about Shabbos. Right. So let's start the parak. Parak Yudches. Beis Shammai Yomrim, Beis Shammai says, Hashamayim nivru tchila ve'achar kach ha'aretz. Hashem says, first the Shemayim was created, the heavens, and then the Eretz was created, the land. Shinemar, because it says in the Pasuk, Bereishis bar elikim, eis Hashemayim ve'eis ha'aretz. In the beginning, or the beginning of Hashem creating the Shemayim and the Eretz. So first it says Shemayim, and then it says Eretz. So that's what Beis Shammai holds, the Shemayim was created before the Eretz. And we know the Gemara says that the reason why, whenever we have Machalikas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, so we always mention Beis Shammai before Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel were Arnovim, they were humble people. So they always let Beis Shammai say their opinion first, and then they said their own opinion. So that's Beis Shammai. Well, Beis Hillel Imrim, Ha'aretz Nivrei Tchila. Beis Hillel says, it wasn't Shemayim and then Eretz. First the Eretz was created, then the Shemayim was created. Ha'aretz Nivrei Tchila. The Eretz was created first. Shneimar says in the Pasuk, Lefonim Ha'aretz Yosadeta, U'maisei Yodecha Shemayim. Lifanim, earlier or from beforehand, Haaretz Yosadeta, you founded the world. Umayse Yodecha Shemayim, and the handiwork and your handiwork is the Shemayim. So in that pasuk it says Eretz before Shemayim. So Beis Hillel wants to say that the Eretz was created before the Shemayim. Yeah. Now the Gemara in Chagiga also brings this machlikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. What was created first, Shemayim or the Eretz? The Gemara in Chagiga on Yud Beis Amud Beis says that Beis Hillel brings a different pasuk, because it says in the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, "B'yom Aseres Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim." So even though it says "Bereishis Elokim Eitz Hashamayim Ve'Eitz Haaretz," which is the source that Beis Shammai says that the Shemayim was created before the Eretz, Beis Hillel says a different pasuk says, "B'yom Aseres Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim," and Eretz says Eretz before Shemayim. So Beis Hillel says from that pasuk that the Eretz was created before the Shemayim. That's Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Yomim. Beis Shammai says, Shemayim nivru utchila. He says, I want to bring another raya, another proof that the Shemayim was created first. It says in the Pasuk, Af yodi yosta eretz, v'imini tibcha Shemayim. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshayah, also my hand created, founded the eretz, the land, and my right hand, that was what created the Shemayim. So Beis Shammai wants to say that the way that most Mefarshim want to explain it is that the right hand is the one, the right hand is the more chashev hand. So if you're going to create two things, first you do what you're creating with the right hand, then you create the thing with your left hand. So it says that Hashem created the Shemayim with the right hand, and it sounds like He created the Eretz with the left hand. So from here, Beis Shammai wants to see that Shemayim was created first, and then the Eretz. That's the way the Radal and the Bais Hagadol explain what the Raya is from this Pasuk. But the Radal doesn't like it, because he says, because when we're talking, because Yamin and Smol, left and right, is Din and Rachamim, and we're talking about creating of the world, so we usually talk about Din before Rachamim, because Hashem originally wanted to create the world with just Din. Basically, Kim Eis Hashem Eis Haaretz. It doesn't say Hashem, it just says Elikim. So it says that on the contrary, from the fact that the Eretz was created with the Smol, that's a Raya that the Eretz was created first, not the Shemayim. Actually, the Radal and the Bais HaGadol, they take out this line from the Pirkei de Blizzard. They say it's a mistake. And we're going to see that the Pirkei de Blizzard actually brings this exact pasuk to say something else. Says the Medrash, Nichnos tacharus b'neihem al adover hazeh. So there came a competition between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about this matter. Ad shesharta shechina b'neihem, until the shechina settled between, dwelled upon them, v'hiskimu elu im elu sheshneihem nivru b'shas achas uv'rega echad. There was this is big machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There was a whole controversy between them until the Shechina came and made peace between them, and they agreed with each other that what was created first, Shemayim or Eretz? No, they were both created at the same time. B'sha'achas uva rega echad. How so? How did Hashem create both at the same time? That's not a question, but may also Kiddush Baruch. What did Kiddush Baruch do? Poshet yad yaminai v'nat ha-shamayim. Poshet yad smolai v'yosad eretz. With one hand, with the right hand, Hashem created the shamayim. With the left hand, Hashem created the eretz. Shenema, and it brings that puzzle that we just quoted before. Af yadi yasta eretz, v'yaminai tip Hashem. My hand created founded the eretz, and my right hand created the shamayim. Sounds like there was one with one with kibiyachol. Obviously, Hashem doesn't have hands, but kibiyachol Hashem used his right hand to create the shemayim, his left hand to create the eretz, and both of them happened at the same time. And the eretz and shemayim stood at the same time together. Shenema, it says in the pasuk. The Radal says that it really shouldn't say shenema, and this pasuk was really an introduction to the next discussion about Shabbos, but. You could read it like this: Shemayim, it says in the pasuk, "Vayichulu Hashemayim ve'aretz v'cholzvam," and the Shemayim and the Eretz and all the legions were finished. Hashem finished creating them, so it sounds like Hashem finished creating all these elements at one moment. Hashem created all of them at the same time. That's what the Medrash is saying over here. So it's a very interesting machlokes b'Shamayim b'Hillel. What was created first, the Shemayim or the Eretz? B'Shamayim says that the Shemayim was created first, and b'Hillel holds that the Eretz was created first. What?
Why is it interesting?
That's the question. It's like very interesting. Like, what are we arguing about? Like, who cares? Like, it's a historical question. What's the machlokes? What does it matter to us? So if you look in Rabbi Yomi Izmi over here, V'loy Oyed Ella on Pirkei Eliezer, he has 12 different ideas to explain the machlokes v'Shamayim v'Hillel over here, but. We'll get to him, but not yet. What I want to say is like this: the different mafarshim speak about different ways of figuring out, of making a general machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, the Mishnah in the Avos says, in everything,
in all of
Shas. The Mishnah Masechus Avos famously contrasts. Machlekes Kerech Va'adosoi, which is Machlekes Shalei L'Shem Shemayim, with the Machlekes B'Shamay B'Zhil, which is Machlekes L'Shem Shemayim. Right? Tell me this. There's one Machlekes B'Shamay B'Zhil. If you learn Gemara, you know that there's plenty of Machlekes. But the Gemara seems to say, oh, Machlekes, it's like one kilo, it's as if it's one Machlekes. So, based on this idea, it sounds like there's one difference of opinion between B'Shamay and B'Zhil, and because of that difference of opinion, they say all their different views on different topics, and it makes different
nachminas. I never read this way, actually. Yeah. I was thought we were talking about all the machlokes in the world between B'Shamay and B'Zhil, not only one machlokes. I never saw this way.
But there's only one machlok. It says doesn't say machlokei is B'Shamay and B'Zhil. It says machlokei is B'Shamay and B'Zhil.
Yeah, that's what I said. I never read.
Yeah. So the different mafarshim, they want to say that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they're coming from different world views, and that's why they say what they say. And there's different nuschois, that there's different phrases and different ways of saying this over. And like in one way of saying it is that Beis Shammai is din and Beis Hillel is rachamim. That's one way they say it over. Or another way they say it is Beis Shammai is ruchnius and Beis Hillel is gashmius. Another way they say it over is Beis Shammai goes with the quality and Beis Hillel goes with the quantity. Another way they say it over is Beis Shammai goes with the Tzura and Beis Hillel goes with the Chaymer. I mean, when we talk about Chaymer and Tzura, these are sort of philosophical terms that the Rambam and Meir Nevuchim speaks about. Chaymer is like the ingredient and Tzura is using that ingredient to form something. So somehow that Beis Hillel is the Chaymer, focusing on the ingredient, and Beis Shammai is focusing on the Tzura, like, let's say, the rules of what to do with that ingredient.
Who's explaining this?
The world explains.
That explanation, what I just said right now, is the Ragachover. The Ragachover, in many places in the Ragachover's writing, the Tzofnas Panech, so there's a sefer called Mefanech Tzfunus, from Rav Menachem Kasher. And Menachem Kasher, what he did was he opened up the writings of the Ragachover to the masses. What he did was he compiled different places that the Ragachover speaks about different ideas, and he puts them together in a way that you could sort of see what he's trying to say. Because in general, the Ragatravar is just like, on one halacha, he'll just say like, look here, look here, look here, look here, look here, look here, and he won't say what exactly he means and what those places have to do with each other. But if you take, his comments are very like, concise, and it's like very hard to understand what the Ragatravar says. But what Rav Menachem Kasher in Mefanech Tzfunos did was he put together all different shtiklach from the Ragatravar to come up with like a cohesive, like, this is what the Ragatravar holds about this topic. So in Perek Aleph, Simen Gimel in the Mefanech Tzfunos, he shows us that the shita of the Ragatravar is that Bishamai is Tzura and Bishillel is Chaimer. We're going to explain what all these things mean. I hope we're going to be able to understand it in a few moments. Another way of saying it is that Bishamai goes with thought and Bishillel goes with action. And another way of saying Mamish the exact same thing is that Beis Shammai goes with koyach and Beis Hillel goes with poil. Meaning Beis Shammai goes with the potential to do something and Beis Hillel goes with the actually doing of that thing. These are different nuschais that the Mefarshim use in explaining Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. I told you that the Ragatravar is one of the main Mefarshim that speaks about this, and Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Rav Zevin, in his sefer La'ar HaHalacha, in the La'ar HaHalacha, he speaks about, he's the one who says Koyach and Poyel about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and he goes through all these different cases of Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel and explains how they have to do with this. My understanding, I think it really fits in. It's the same exact thing as all these other Mefarshim. It just, I want to say it like in a slightly different way that maybe we could like begin to understand what it means. I want to say it a little differently, like this. That the difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is that Beis Hillel, let's start with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is what we call a captain. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai is a captain and Beis Hillel is an onov. What does it mean a captain? A captain means he's particular, he's specific. Beis Shammai is specific. He holds of the ideal. He's an ideologue, an unwavering ideologue. Beis Shammai holds like, this is the way it's supposed to be, that's the way it's supposed to be. And we don't make any psharas, we don't make any let me say pshar, I forgot.
The consequences,
yeah,
of that being a tough being or whatever, just like that's the truth, that's it.
Right, that's it. And we don't have to deal with anything else. We don't make any compromises. On the other hand, Beis Hillel is the opposite. Beis Hillel will take into account, you know, what's the ideal. That's an important thing. And also take into account, you know, what's the reality? How do things actually work? How is this going to play out in the real world? So you can say that Beis Shammai is an ideologue and Beis Hillel is pragmatic. They're practical. That's the Indian of Beis Hillel.
The shir, I heard that there's a very nice shir about this very subject by Rav Akiva
Tatz. Yeah.
And his explanation is very much he comes from the point of view of the Shammai. The Shammai, of course, things have to be perfect. You know, they create. That's the way the world was really created.
I was gonna say that idea. I'm glad that somebody thought of that also. The Shammai comes from Shamayim.
And Hillel comes from the point of view of us. Where
right.
We are finite, we're not in a whole.
Does he have a way of saying how the name Hillel applies to that idea? No, I was trying to tell us. I can.
Shammai does say it's from Shammai, and he's coming from that. And therefore, Hashemai Yibra'u.
Oh. So that's the idea that we're going to say over here.
Yeah.
So Beis Hillel, so when we're talking about Beis Shammai, so if Beis Shammai is what we call an unwavering ideologue, he goes for the ideal, he goes with what the lofty theoretical, this is the way it's supposed to be. So that's why in general Beis Shammai is more machmir. Because he's saying, this is the way it is, we can't make any compromise. On the other hand, Beis Hillel, who takes everything into account. You want to go home? Okay, sit down nicely. I'm going to play, and you can listen to Tati's shir, and you can go home later, okay? Okay? Okay, sit down nicely. You can play with your car. And Beis Hillel takes everything into account and puts it all together. And then comes out with a decision of what the halacha is supposed to be. And that's why it makes sense that in a lot of cases Beis Hillel is more makel. Because they take... Okay, go to Hachershul. You can go by yourself. You want to go by yourself? Okay. And Beis Hillel takes everything into account the way they decide it. Even taking the reality into account. One second. And of course, that's why we see that Beis Shammai is always mentioned before Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is more flexible, and they don't necessarily care. You know, you can mention the other opinion before us, and that doesn't bother us. So Beis Shammai is mentioned before Beis Hillel, like we said before. Another manifestation of this idea we can see is in Mishnayos and a few places in Shas. Actually, in 10 places in Shas, it says Chazu Beis Hillel Lahoris Kedivri Beis Shammai. There was Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and it says that Beis Hillel retracted their opinion, and they ruled like Beis Shammai in the end. I don't know this from my Bikias and Shas. I know there's a sefer called Michlop Piskamim Umamarim, and over there it says that it brings this down to 10 places in Shas. It says that Beis Hillel was Chazer and held like Beis Shammai.
Shabbos, the beginning
of Shabbos, there's one. So how many places in Shas does it say that Beis Shammai was retracted and said like Beis Hillel? Zero. Because why? Because Beis Shammai holds what they hold, and they're not gonna. They don't change. They hold like this, and we don't move around, and that's the way it is. That's the pshat. We want to say over here in the Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. What was created first, the Shemayim or the Eretz? Because the Shemayim represents that heavenly ideal of, you know, this is the way it's Hashem wants it, Kilu. This is the way it's supposed to be, and that's all that we take into account. So Beis Shammai says the Shemayim was created first, and that's what we deal with most, and that's the ikra of how to determine what the halacha is supposed to be. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says no, the Eretz was created first, and meaning the Eretz represents the reality of how things actually work in the world, and they said that's the ikra, and that's how, what we're going to use to determine how to pass in the halachas. That's what Beis Shammai Beis Hillel over here in our machlokes, in our medrash. And reminds me, if you look in different places in Shas, you'll find this idea showing itself in a lot of different areas. And I just want to speak out a few ideas. First of all, Gemara Masachas Ksubis, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Ketzad Me'akdin Lefnei HaKala. How do you dance in front of the Kala? So Beis Shammai says, Kala K'mais Shehi. The Kala, the bride, the way she is.
You praise her the way she is.
You praise her the way. That's what Beis Hillel says. Beis Hillel says, Kala Nava Chasuda. You always, by every chasana, when you're dancing with the Kala, you always say that the Kala, the bride, is she's nice and she's Chasuda. She's righteous. Right? What if she isn't? So you lie. So what do we see over here? Beis Hillel says that you lie. You lie and say that she's chasuda, not of a chasuda, even if she's not. And Beis Shammai says, no, you can't lie. You always say the truth. What's machlekes over here? It's the same thing. Beis Shammai says, no, there's an idea that we can't lie. We can't lie. There's no questions asked. How are you supposed to dance with a kala? I don't care. But don't lie. Kala kamishi, the way she is. Beis Hillel says, yeah, we understand there's an idea not to lie. But you know, in this situation, you know, the reality calls for sometimes lying. You have to say, you know, no ava chasuda, even if she's not no ava chasuda, because you're trying to make her chaviv al baila so that her husband will like her more, or whatever, and you have a certain achrayas to deal with that, and you can't escape that. That's the reality. Eretz nivru tchila. Another manifestation of that machlekes, I'll say a more technical halachic thing, is in B'metzia, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. There's a halacha that a shomer, a person who's watching an object for somebody else, so if If, let's say a Shemer Chinam, right? You know, Shemer Chinam is watching an object for somebody else, and that object is stolen, or he loses the object in a way that he wasn't at fault for losing the object, and then the owner of the object says, yo, where's my object? Stolen or lost in a way that I wasn't at fault. So the Shemer is exempt from paying the owner. The Torah says that all you have to do is make a Shvua. Shvua is a Shemer. The guy who was watching it, the Shemer, is supposed to just make take an oath that he didn't send his hand forth upon the object. And then he's exempt from paying for it. Yeah. So the halacha is like this. Let's say he did send forth his hand on the object. Let's say I'm watching this book, this hat for you. And you told me, we're going to take this hat and I want you to watch it. Fine. So I'm watching the hat. Now I'm thinking to myself, you know, this hat is a very nice hat. I'm going to use this guy's hat. I don't have rishus to use it. I don't have permission to use your hat. You just told me to watch it. You didn't say I'm allowed to use it. And you know, I go out to my party tonight and I'm wearing your fancy hat. Yeah. And then the next day, I put the hat back down in its proper place in my house or whatever. And the next day, people come into my house and they steal a hat. Now you come to me and you say, okay, where's my hat? I said, oh, it's stolen. Okay, it's fine. So what's the halacha in a case where it's stolen? I have to make a shvuah. But in this case, I can't make a shvuah that says that I didn't send forth my hand on your hat, because I did. Right? So I can't make that shvuah. So therefore, I have to pay. Yeah? So that's the halacha called shaleich yad b'pikadon. If you send forth your hand on the pikadon, then you're obligated to pay even if it was stolen or lost in a way that it's not your fault. Now, what's called sending forth your hand on the pikadon? So the Gemara, Maseches Bava Metzia, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, brings machlokes, Beishamai Beis Hillel. Beishamai says, if I think about using it, even though I don't have permission, then I'm already obligated. That's called sending my hand forth upon your object. Just thinking about using it. Beis Hillel says, no, only if I use it. So what's the difference? So the idea is like this. Beis Shammai understands there's something called you're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to use something that doesn't belong to you, that you don't have permission to use. That's so absurd that you're not even allowed to think about it. It's not yours. Don't think about it. Don't even think about using it. Once you even thought about using it, you already broke the ideal. You already took yourself out of the you can't say I wasn't pay share. No, you already thought about it. You took it in your thoughts. You already took it out of the real owner's possession and you put it into your possession. You already stole it. Beis Hillel says no. We don't really care what you're thinking. You can think all you want. As long as you don't actually do it, then it's not a problem. You're still considered a shamer. Because Beis Hillel goes with the practical. How does the reality is, did you actually shaleich yad or not? You didn't. So what's the problem? That's another machlikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The same idea. And another one, a famous one. This is mamish a famous one. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Tan Rabbanan, Lamed Amud Beis, Shabbos. Lo'olam yehei adam envusan kehillel. A person should always be an anav like Hillel. Va'al yehei captain kishamai. And you shouldn't be a captain like Shammai. And the Gemara brings a whole story about a guy who came to bother Hillel on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, and Hillel didn't get bothered. And the guy is like, chaval, I lost 400 zuz because I made a bet that you would get upset, and you didn't get upset. And Hillel's like, oh, Baruch Hashem, I didn't get upset. And then the Gemara brings another story. A guy came once to Shammai, and he said to Shammai, how many Torahs do you have? And Shammai says, we have two. We have Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. The guy says, well, I only believe in Torah Shabbat. I don't believe in Torah Shabbat. I want to become a ger, but I only want to learn Torah Shabbat. I don't want to learn Torah Shabbat. So what's Shammai's reaction? Shammai screams at him. He chucks him out of his house. Like, yeah, don't come back, etc. That's Shammai's reaction to this guy. The same guy comes to Hillel. He says, how many Torahs do you have? He says, we have two, Torah Shabbat Chassav, Torah Shabbat Peh. So, okay, I want to become a ger, but only one learn Torah Shabbat Chassav, not Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, so what is Hillel's reaction? The exact opposite. Hillel's like, Seder, come, we'll teach you Torah. Right? So what happens? So what says, one day, he comes, the first day he comes in, and Hillel tells him, okay, look, we have to learn Aleph Beis, yeah? Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Yes? Okay, fine, I got it. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. The next day, the guy comes back into the Beis Medrash, and Hillel tells him, okay, look, we're learning Aleph Beis, right? Okay, so Dalet Gimel Beis Aleph. The guy says, what? Dalet Gimel. Yesterday you said Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. So Hillel says, what do you mean? Where does it say that? You said it. Who cares what I said? You don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. You only believe in Torah Shebaal Chasav. And the guy says, ah, you know what? You're right. We can't just have Torah Shebaal Chasav without Torah Shebaal Peh. I agree. I want to learn from you Torah Shebaal Chasav and Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the story with Hillel and Shammai. See, what's the difference between Hillel and Shammai? Shammai said, there's an ideal of Torah Shebaal Chasav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and we hold of both Torahs. You don't hold of one of them? I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to be Megari. I have nothing to do with you. Get out of here. That's Shammai's approach. Hillel's approach is more accepting, more flexible. Fine, you want to deal with Torah Shebaal Chasav? You only want to deal with Torah Shebaal Chasav? You don't want to deal with Torah Shebaal Peh? Fine, so I'll take you in. And I'll show you that really you also want to deal with Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, I'll show you how it's true. I'm going to play around with you and convince you. He's more flexible. Shammai is unwavering and Hillel is more accepting. He's more able to have that flexibility. Another Gemara, this sort of the same idea. The Gemara Yerushalmi Masechta Sota in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet. The Gemara is talking about what's the halacha if you're writing the name Hashem, and you start writing the name Hashem, you write, let's say you write Yud, and then you stop. So does that Yud have the kedusha of the name of Hashem or not? So Beis Shammai says yes, it does. If you write one letter of the name of Hashem, it has Kedusha. Beis Hillel says, no. It only has Kedusha when you write the name of Hashem, not when you write one letter. The name of Hashem is the name of Hashem. One letter is one letter. It's two different things. So you see this idea again. Beis Shammai goes with the ideal. The ideal is, you know, you're writing the name of Hashem, so you even when you start writing it, before you even finished it, that's the name of Hashem. And Beis Hillel says, no. Practically, you haven't written the name of Hashem. That's not called the name of Hashem yet. It's the same. The Rav Shammai brings this idea. He brings this Gemara. I didn't find that one on my own. Another Machlikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is the Mishnah Yevamos. The way I understand it, there's a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim that tells you, like, all Shiurim, when you say how much you have to do of a certain thing to do the mitzvah, like Kazayas and Kibetzah, whatever these things. So Shiurim Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, right? I understand that there's a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim that tells us that having two kids is a kiyum of the mitzvah of puruvu, the mitzvah of procreation. And so the Mishnah says that if you have two kids, you fulfill the mitzvah of procreation. So then it comes along, what does it mean two kids? So Beis Shammai says two boys, and Beis Hillel says a boy and a girl. That's what the Mishnah says. So what's Pshat and Machlekes? So I understand like this. Beis Shammai would say that the ideal is a boy. Why? Because a boy goes out and is mashpia in the world and does things, whatever. The girl is sort of the passive thing that happens to be that you need that in order to propagate the world. Right? But the boy is something that goes out and bears fruit. Like we're talking about the Shemayim and the Eretz. So the Shemayim is the one that's Mashpia. And the Eretz is what's Makabal, the Hashpa of the Shemayim. So that's the Iker. The Shemayim, the boy is the Iker. So we know that you're supposed to have two kids. So which two kids? Two boys. That's what Beis Shammai will tell you. And Beis Hillel will say, that doesn't make any sense. If everyone just had boys, the world will never continue. Because you need girls in order for the world to continue. The reality is not like you, Beis Shammai. The reality requires girls. So Beis Hillel says, you can't just say that the mitzvah is just boys. Mitzvah is also girls. So Beis Hillel says, we'll sort of make a pshara. You know, one boy and one girl. And together, with those two together, you can be mekayem the mitzvah. No demachlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel with this idea. Another place where you see this is a famous Gemara. The Gemara brings Machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Is it better that man was created or that better that man wasn't created? Or it's better that he was created? The Shammai says it's better that man wasn't created. Why? Because man sins. So, and sin is like the most horrible thing that a person can do. Therefore, since man sins, and we don't want sin, better that man is not created. Better so that you won't come to the sin. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's better that man is created. Man is going to sin. Yeah, that's the way the world works. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the world turns. Man sins. So you have to deal with that. Try not to sin. If you sin, do tshuva or whatever. But you know, you can't ignore that reality. The reality is that that's the natural inclination of a person is to sin also. So that's part of it. That's part of the world. Mishra says, you know, we want to be so idealistic that it's better off if we weren't even created, so that we won't come to sin. Basil says, you know, sin. Of course, it's a horrible thing, but you can live with it. And the Gemara over there says that there was a whole machlekes with Shammai Beis Hillel about if it's better that man was created and not created. And the Gemara says, and they came out, everyone agreed that really it's better that man wasn't created. But now that he was created, so the only thing you could do would be Isaac and Torah and mitzvahs and do the right thing. Which was sort of a pshar between the opinions of Shammai Beis Hillel. So the way it comes out is that in general, when we have a machlekes with Shammai and Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. We mentioned before that in some cases Beis Hillel recanted and held like Beis Shammai, in which case there's no argument, so we all go like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel together. In the case that Beis Hillel didn't recant, so usually we go like Beis Hillel. There's a few exceptions where we pass in like Beis Shammai. And yeah, the Maisa in the how do we know we go like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara in Pesachim says that there was a Baskal that came out and said that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. That's how we know the whole idea of passing like Beis Hillel. That's the Gemara says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the reason is because it was a vote.
Oh. So Tesis asks. Tesis
in
a few.
In the Hefek from Shemayim came the halacha is like Shammai.
No, Baskal said the halacha is like
Beis Hillel. Featuring the Eliezer and the Yeshua, but okay, so Rav Katz says. One was the Talmud of Shammai, one was the Talmud of Hillel, and they took from them. Therefore, it was really an
anti-Semitic argument. So we'll touch on that in a moment. But really, the real reason why we're passing like this, the way I understand it, Tesis and Yevamos sort of asks like this question. Why is it that we need a Baskal to tell you that Allah is like Beis Hillel? The reason why we passed like Beis Hillel is because there was Roiv was Beis Hillel, and only a Miut, a minority of the Chachamim were from Beis Shammai. So we pass on Beis Hillel because we go Achrei Rav Mahatis, we go with the majority. The majority rules. So Tesis sort of asks this question, Yevamos. But the answer that Tesis says is like this, that Beis Hillel was the majority, but Beis Shammai was Mechadid Itfei, they were smarter. So this also goes back into the machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel we spoke about in the beginning. Some people, the way they say it is that Beis Hillel is quantity and Beis Shammai is quality. Because Beis Hillel had more people, but Beis Shammai was smarter. So the question is, how do you paskin? With more people? With what's more accepted in the world? The reality, let's say, the pragmatic reality? Or the ideal, the smarter? Even though it's not necessarily accepted by the most people. The machlekes Beis Shammai, how to pass the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel itself is machlek, goes into the yusoid of the machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And so Beis Shammai is smarter. So the Baskal came to say that, you know, in this case, we go with the majority as opposed to the smarter. In the Sefer Chinuch, on the mitzvah, in Parshas Mishpatim, on the mitzvah of Achrei Rav Mahatis, so the Sefer Chinuch says that the halacha, I didn't look it up, but I seem to remember that this is what he says. The halacha is that if you have a majority and you have people who are smarter, so you go with the people who are smarter. But that's only if they're like way smarter. If they're like a little bit smarter, so you go with the majority, even though the people who are smarter are smarter. So you have to. So we have to say that that's the word over here with Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Even though Beis Hillel was the majority, Beis Shammai was smarter when we pass in like Beis Hillel, that's only because Beis Hillel was only a little bit less smart than Beis Shammai. If Beis Shammai was way smarter than them, then you know, then Beis Hillel, like, there's nothing to talk about. We don't even know what they say, which is something that, you know, if people ever ask you, you know, you know, why do you keep Shabbos? You know, most Jews don't. Most rabbis in the world hold you don't have to keep Shabbos. So you tell them, yeah, but our rabbi is a Mechadad Yitfei. So I don't care that a reform and conservative rabbi says you don't have to keep Shabbos. That's not part of the Rav. That's not part of the discussion, Bechal. It's an important idea. But you can also say like this. As you started mentioning, there was Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shul. We spoke about this in the introduction to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shul about the case of Tanur Shel Achnai. And a certain oven, if it's Tamei or not Tamei, whatever. So Rabbi Eliezer said that it's Tamei, that it's Tahar. And the Chachamim said that it's Tamei. And Rabbi Eliezer wanted to bring a proof that it's Tahar from different supernatural phenomenon, that Nisim that he made occur in order to show from Shemayim that what he's saying is true. And in the end, even a baskol, a heavenly voice, called out that, you know, the halacha, what are you guys talking about? The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And still, they argued with him. And Rabbi Shua, who usually argues with Rabbi Eliezer, says, "Ein mashkichim bebaskol kol ikr." We don't listen to what a baskol says. We don't listen to baskol. So, as you started mentioning, Rabbi Eliezer is a member of Beis Shammai. Gemara says, "Eli Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihu." Shamuti, we explained in the introduction, means he's from Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yeshua is from Beis Hillel, Talmud Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So, Rabbi Yeshua says we don't listen to baskol. Rabbi Eliezer says we listen to baskol. So, Rabbi Eliezer, what's Rabbi Eliezer trying to bring a riot to? He's trying to bring a riot from a baskol. Why? Because Beis Shammai holds Shamayim Nivru Tchila. And so, since Shamayim Nivru Tchila, so we have to listen to what the Shamayim says, even though the brave people here in the Eretz say not like me, but the Shamayim says like me. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we hold like Beis, we're members of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds Eretz Nivru Tchila. And we hold like the Rav. We don't necessarily care what the Baskel says. Right? So now you're going to ask me a question. Ask me a question, a very partial question. Rabbi Yeshua or Beis Hillel, they use the Baskel that says Paskin like us, but they don't use the Baskel that says Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. They contradict themselves like that. They're hypocrites. When the Baskel says like me, so I go like the Baskel. When the Baskel doesn't say like me, so I don't go like the Baskel. How does that work out? So I think the pshat is like this. Who did the Baskel that says that we Paskin like Beis Hillel, who is it talking to? I think the pshat is like this. Beis Hillel didn't need a baskol to tell us to paskin like Beis Hillel, because we are Beis Hillel. We know that we know what the halacha is. We paskin like ourselves. Of course, we paskin like ourselves. The whole baskol only came to tell Beis Shammai not to paskin, that they should paskin like Beis Hillel, because Beis Shammai cares about Rav. So Beis Hillel cares about Rav. So they paskin like themselves because they're the Rav. Beis Shammai doesn't care about Rav. They care about the ideal, the Shamayim. And so what does Shamayim say? So the Baskel had to come to tell Beis Shammai halacha is like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel didn't need the Baskel. Beis Shammai needed the Baskel. That's the way I understand it. But so they bring down that L'asud Lova in the future, so the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel. Even though now we pass on like Beis Hillel, in the future we're going to pass on like Beis Shammai. Instead of there's, it brings us down the name of a sefer called Vayakhel Maisha. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but that's, I think, the earliest source that says that we pass like Beis Shammai. The Mekubalim will talk about this. Oh, actually, I think their Mamipano also says it. I don't remember. But there's an idea that we're going to pass like Beis Shammai in the future. So maybe you can understand that based on what we're saying over here. Because Beis Shammai goes for the ideal, and Beis Hillel goes with the practical. So Beis Shammai goes with, you know, what's Me'ikar Din? The Lashon, there's a Gemara that says, Yikov Adin Asahar. The Din, you know, will make a hole in the mountain. It's so strong that's how we go. And Beis Hillel says, we have to take the practical ramifications and the reality into account and then decide what the halacha is based on that. And nowadays, the way the world is, there's certain limitations that we have, and we can't always go to the ideal. The way I understand it is that B'mayisa Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have those limitations. All those things that get in the way are going to be gone. And then we can all go with the ideal. We'll go with Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel will say, yeah, there's nothing stopping us from passing like Beis Shammai. There's nothing in the way. So that's in a basic overview, I think, of the general machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and these different things, and what it means in Shammayim and Eretz. And I just want to speak about, we're not going to go weiter today, so you don't have to worry. You can even close your Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer if you want. But I just want to speak about the Indian of Beis Hillel a little bit more, especially because today is Rosh Chodesh Av, and there's a lot of things that are relevant, especially to this time period, this period of the year, and especially to today, that have to do with the idea of Beis Hillel. And sometimes in the world, people misrepresent what the idea is of Beis Hillel and how we're supposed to act, and they take it either to one extreme or to the other. And I think it's important to show that really a balance is what's required. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Once we understand this machlokes between this difference of worldview of Shammai and Hillel, that Shammai is a captain, he goes with the Ikar HaDin, and Hillel is more flexible and is able to deal with reality and put things together more easily, we can understand better a famous thing that Hillel said. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos. Hillel Omer, having me Talmidim Shel Aaron. Hillel said you should be a Talmud of Aaron HaKohen. Ayev Shalom, loving peace. The Rodev Shalom, chasing after peace. Ayev is a brios mukarvin l'Torah, loving the creations and bringing them closer to Torah. That's what Hillel said. Hillel said you should be like Aaron HaKohen. And we've spoken a few times already about the mida of Aaron HaKohen, that the Indian of a Kohen is to bring peace to the world, to bring peace to a man and his wife, to bring peace between man and his friend, to bring peace between man and Hashem. We spoke about this a little bit in the previous parak, a little bit more, I believe it was in parak Ches. We spoke of this idea of that iron brings peace, to bring shalom in the world. L'maisa, this idea is also expressed in another Mishnah, the last Mishnah, Maseches Idyos. Last Mishnah Maseches Idyos is speaking about Eliyahu HaNavi. What we all know that when we speak about waiting for Mashiach, one of the things we're waiting for is we're waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi to come. What is the role of Eliyahu HaNavi in the coming Mashiach? Why are we waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi? What's Eliyahu HaNavi supposed to be? So it's a machlokes in the Mishnah Maseches Idyos Perek Ches Mishnah Zayin. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua says, "Mekubalani Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shushama mirabai, verabai mirabai, halacha l'meisha mesinai." I have a Kabbalah, halacha l'meisha mesinai, she'ein Eliyahu bo l'tamei, o l'taher, l'rachek, o l'kariv, el l'rachek, ha'mukurovin, b'zroya, l'kariv, m'rachakim, b'zroya. Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come to say what's tamei, what's tahar, which people could get married, which people can't get married. Rather, he's just going to make sure that, you know, people that are married in should be distanced, the people that are distanced should come closer. He's not going to really get involved and explain every single family. And then there's another machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, lekarev avaloy l'rachek. He's only going to bring people close. He's not going to send people away. I mean, he's going to say, you know, these family that you thought were mamzerim, they're really not mamzerim. But family that you didn't think were mamzerim, that are mamzerim, he's not going to say they are. To send them away. Rabbi Shimon Amr Lahashay Samachlikis. Rabbi Shimon says the role of Eliyahu HaNavi is to be Lahashay Samachlikis, to ease out all the machlikis, to make everything equal, to make it that there's no machlikis in the world. The Chachamim say, Loy l'rachik, Loy l'karev, Elalasa Shalom Beinehem. The role of Eliyahu HaNavi in the future is going to be to make peace between everyone. And the Gerst of Tesis Shan says, Lasa Shalom Ba'olam, to make peace in the world. Shenemar says in the Pasuk, this is the last pasuk in Nevi'im, the last pasuk in Sefer Treyos and the Nevuah Malachi. It's the haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol, the end of the haftarah. Hine enechi sheleich lechem es Eliyahu HaNavi. Behold, I am sending for you Eliyah the prophet. Some just Reuven Margolis in Hamikra Masera says that when we talk about theophoric, you know what theophoric names are? Names that have an element of the Shem Hashem in it. So names that have an element of the Shem. What?
What was that?
Yeah, Eliezer is a theophoric name. But when we have names that have the element of Shem Havaya, Yud Kev Hov Kei in it, so Reuven Margolis points out a difference between the time of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. In the time of Bayis Rishon, they all had three letters of Hashem's name. Like Uziyahu, Chizkiyahu, Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu. Right? They all had three letters. In the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they only had two letters. So Eliyahu HaNavi that Malachi is referring to is the same person as Eliyahu HaNavi. But the only difference is that in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, the gilui of the Shekhinah was greater, so you could put more letters of Hashem's name in a person's name. But in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the revelation of the Shekhinah was less, so you only had two letters in the person's name, not three letters. So Eliyahu HaNavi is the same person as Eliyahu HaNavi. So Malachi says that Hashem said, "I'm going to send to you Eliyahu HaNavi." Lifnei bar yom Hashem hagadol v'anayah, before the day of the awesome day of Hashem, the day of reckoning of when Mashiach comes. And what's he going to do? Ve'eshiv levavis al banim v'lebanim al avaisam. And he's going to return the hearts of the sons on the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the hearts of the sons to the father. All he's going to do is he's going to make shalom. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi's role is, to make shalom. And we know that the Gemara says, according to a lot of opinions, Eliyahu HaNavi is the same person as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kayin. Pinchas was the successor and continuator of the tradition of Aaron HaKohen. Pinchas also, his job was to make peace. And so that's the role of Eliyahu HaNavi, to make peace in the world. So Hillel is telling us we should be Talmidim of Aaron. We should be Ayyub Shalom, Rejiv Shalom. And we see that Pinchas, who is Eliyahu HaNavi, is also, he's a Talmid of Aaron. And his role is also to make peace in the world. So Hillel is telling us that's our role in the world as well. We're supposed to make peace in the world. And we find a special kesher between Aaron HaKohen and Hillel HaZaken. We find that it's brought in Seder Daris. Also, Seder Daris brings down, I believe, in the name of the Ramami Pano, that Hillel HaZaken was the Gilgal of Aaron HaKohen. Makes sense, because he's the one who told us, "Havi mitalmid avshal Aaron." And I heard from one of the contemporary, in the name of one of the contemporary Mekubalim, he says that's the connection between Hillel and Aaron HaKohen is Merumas, it's hinted to in the Pasuk in Parashat Shmos, when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the burning bush, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, "No, I can't go to Parah, I don't know how to talk." So Hashem tells him, "Okay, look, you and your brother Aaron are going to go to Parah. You're going to be the Navi, the one who sort of decides what to speak, and Aaron, he's going to speak for you." The lashon of the pasuk is "Hu yihiya lachol lepeh," or lefeh, I don't remember. "He shall be for you a mouth." Rashi Tevis, "Hu yihiya lachol lepeh, hey yud lamed lamed." That's Hillel. So Hillel is murmurs in that pasuk. That Aaron is like Hillel, or Hillel is like Aaron. And today it happens to be is the yortzeit of Aaron HaKohen. In this week's parsha, in Parshas Maaseh, so it says, I don't have chumash, but anyway, it says in the pasuk that Aaron in the middle of the it's telling over the travels of Bnei Yisrael. It says that Aaron died. We spoke about this in the last parak also. That Aaron died on the first day of the fifth month. That's when Aaron died. The first day of the fifth month. And Pasha, that means the fifth month from Nisan, so that's Rosh Chodesh Av, even though we said that the Ralbag says that Rosh Chodesh Shvat, but Pasha means that Aaron HaKohen died in Rosh Chodesh Av, and that's today is the Yortzeit of Aaron HaKohen. And there's an interesting question that we can ask. If you look in all of Tanakh, it never says the day that anyone died. There's no yartzeit in all of Tanakh. It doesn't say what day of the year Avram died. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, nobody. The only person in all of Tanakh that it says what day he died is Aaron HaKohen. What's pshat? Why does it only say the day that Aaron HaKohen died and nobody else? So the Truma Sedeshin asks this question. The Truma Sedeshin has a sefer on Chumash called Biurei Marai. He asks this question in this week's Parashat Maaseh. And he says, because it's coming to tell you that the death of Aaron is kashur, is connected to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The death of Aaron happened in Rosh Chodesh Av, which is the mazel of Av, which is destruction and death or whatever. So too, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed in the month of Av. The Netziv also says a similar idea in Hamek Dover. The way to understand it is like this. And I think I saw basically this similar idea in the Sefer Paris Yosef HaChadash, the name of the Lubavitch Rebbe. But I think this is Mamish Amos. As we said, that the role of Aaron HaKohen was to make shalom between men, Ayyub Shalom, Rejiv Shalom. He was making peace between everybody. That was the role of Aaron HaKohen, to make peace between everyone. What was the reason for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tesem and Beis says that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, baseless hatred. So Aaron HaKohen is the exact opposite of baseless hatred. Aaron HaKohen made peace between everybody, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of baseless hatred. So the vort is that the death of Aaron is the same thing that brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When Aaron HaKohen died, there was nobody there to make peace between people, and then sinna, hatred is what prevailed. So when hatred prevails, that's what's going to mean the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Torah Dafka speaks, tells us when Aaron died, Rosh Chodesh Av, because that's why Av is a month of destruction, because Av is the beginning of Av is when Aaron died and took away the peacemaker, and then when there's no peace, that's what causes the destruction. And we say that every person that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in his generation, it's as if he destroyed it. Why? Because the same thing that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the lack of peace between people, the hatred, exists in all the way in contemporary times, and that's what's blocking the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So if we get rid of the hatred and we bring peace between everybody, like Hillel HaZaken said, Ayyub Habib Mitalid of Shalom, Ayyub Shalom, Ayyub Shalom, and we can bring peace, and then we can sort of help start the role of Eliyahu Navi, who's going to bring Mashiach, and that's how we can bring the Geula. That's the Indian of Hillel HaZaken and Aaron HaKohen. That's what it means to be an Anav. That only Hillel would say such a thing. Shammai would never say such a thing. Shammai, the way Shammai would look at it is like, oh, if you're right, you're right. If he's right, he's right. We there's no peace. You don't make a compromise or pshar between people and try to bring them together. No, here and here. That's it. And Hillel is more flexible and will try to make peace between everybody. That's the invus, the anivus of Hillel. Hillel was the Anav and Shammai was the captain. Now, based on all of this, I have a Gemara in Maseches Gittin that you can't understand. This is a very famous Gemara because it's one of the only Gemaras you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. It's a very famous Gemara, and based on what we're saying, it's very hard to understand what this Gemara is saying. Famous story of the Gemara says in Daf Hayam and Beis and Vav and Aleph Maseches Gittin, the story of Bar Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right? You know the story? There was a guy who was making a party, and he had a friend named Kamsa, and he had an enemy named Bar Kamsa, and he sent out invitations, and invitation ended up going to Bar Kamsa instead of to Kamsa, and this Bar Kamsa, who was his enemy, ended up coming to his party, and he was sitting there by the party, and then the guy making the party all of a sudden sees him and says, you know, get out of here. He's like, oh, don't embarrass me, I'll pay for my meal. He's like, no, get out, I'll pay for half the whole party. No, get out. He embarrassed him. Fine. So the guy gets kicked out of the. He was embarrassed in front of everyone. He goes out, and then he was so upset that he decided he has to go and do something against these Jews. Yeah.
So the chachamim that they are at the party didn't say anything.
The Gemara doesn't say that.
I thought
it did. Okay. The doesn't say that, but it does say that somewhere. We'll get to that in a moment. But he decides, you know, I'm going off the derech. I'm going to take my revenge against the Jews. So what's he do? So it says that he goes to the Roman governor. The Gemara, I believe the Gemara says Caesar. But where is the Gemara? No, it doesn't say Caesar. It says Bei Malka, the house of the king. It doesn't mean king because the Roman king, the Roman emperor, wasn't in Yerushalayim. But Pasha said, I mean, and there was a king in Eretz Yisrael. There was a king in Eretz Yisrael at the time. His name was Agrippas II. He was from the Herodian dynasty. Agrippa II, or in Hebrew, Agrippas. So Agrippa was actually king, but it was really, for all intents and purposes, ruled by the Roman legions that were occupying what they called the province of Judea. So they were really in charge. So he goes to the Roman governor or whatever, and he tells the Roman governor, you know, these Jews are rebelling against you. So how do I know that they're rebelling against me? He says, look, send them a carbon for the Beis HaMikdash, send them a sacrifice, and they're not gonna sacrifice it. That's a proof that they're rebelling against you. He says, okay, let's try it. So he sends a carbon. So this guy, what he does is he knows that before the Kohanim go to bring a carbon, they're gonna check it to make sure it doesn't have any blemishes. So he secretly makes a small blemish in a place that nobody will ever notice. When it says either on the lip or by the eye or whatever, and he brings it. So the Kohanim in the basement, they see it, they check it, and they see, it has a blemish. What are we supposed to do? Should we bring this carbon or not bring this carbon? So it's a Gemara says the Rabbanim were thinking, you know, look, because of Shalom HaMalchus, because of to keep peace between us and the Romans, we should bring the carbon, even though it has a mum. Comes along this Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus. Zechariah ben Avkulus says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because people are going to say that you're allowed to bring a carbon that has a mum. So you can't bring that. You can't bring this carbon as a mum. Fine, so they decided they're not going to bring it. But wait, if they don't bring it, then this guy's going to go back to the Romans and tell them that they didn't bring the carbon, and they're going to say that they're rebelling, and then it's going to make all these problems, right? So the Rabbanan said, okay, fine, we won't bring the carbon. You know what we'll do? We'll kill the guy. That way he can't go tell the Romans that we didn't bring the carbon. Right? Comes, speaks up this guy again, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus. He says, nope, you can't kill him. Why? Because people are going to think that if you killed him, the reason was because a person who makes a mum in a korban is chayiv misa. And it's not true. A person who makes a mum in a korban, you're not allowed to do it, but you're not chayiv misa for it. So we don't want people to get the wrong impression, you can't kill him. So they didn't bring the korban, and they didn't kill the guy, and the guy Taka went back and he told the Romans, and then that made all the trouble. Right? So what's the punchline of the Gemara? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. In Vas Nusay, Shu Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus, Hichrivas Beisenu. The Invas Nusay, the fact that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus was an Anav, that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. How in the world was he an Anav? Why is that called being an Anav? I would say the exact opposite. Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus was a captain. He was saying, no, the halacha is such an animal cannot be brought. The halacha is you can't kill such a person. We can't, even given the situation, the practical reality, whatever, we don't play around, we go with the ideal, and that's it. That's not called being an anav, that's called being a captain. Why does the Gemara say that he's an anav? His anivus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's exact opposite. Well, you have a pshat?
Good question.
So this was bothering me. Rashi says, Invas nusai, his anivus, savla nusai, his patience. Shesavala zevalai hargai. That he was patient with that guy, the Malshin, the guy who was slandering the Jews. He was patient with him and he didn't want to kill him. But I don't understand where Rashi is coming from, because the Gemara said that his reasoning why he didn't want to kill him is, he said, don't kill him, because if you kill him, people are going to think that such a person is Chayav Misa. Rashi didn't say that he said, the Gemara doesn't say he said, don't kill him because, you know, it's not nice, or, you know, he's a sinner but we can accept him. That's not what he said. He said, don't kill him because people are going to get the wrong impression on what the halacha is. He wasn't being an anav. He wasn't making a pshar. He was saying, this is the halacha.
I have a perhaps pshar.
Yeah.
I heard that hanivut is the quality that you realize that everything does come from Shemayim. You really realize it. At every step of the way, this is from Shemayim. You can be as confident as you want, but that at the same time, you realize really what's coming on is from Shemayim. So perhaps you realize that this was from Shemayim. I said it better.
From Shemayim, so I'm not going to do anything about it.
He's going to follow the halacha and realize it's from Shemayim, and Shemayim will take care of everything. It really is coming from there, and therefore, his anivut was the fact that he realized that this was, you can't kill, even if you kill the guy, even if you offer the korban, it's all coming from Shemayim. No matter what, the Romans are going to come.
Well, I mean,
so perhaps that from that.
You could be right, but it doesn't say in the Gemara that he was a Navi.
No.
It doesn't say that he knew what was going to happen. And just
No, he knew. I'm not saying he knew what was going to happen, but he knew that what was happening
was from Shemayim.
From Shemayim, and that's an Anav.
But he didn't, and still, he didn't want to, you know, work with the reality and the practical ramifications and try to get out of it. I mean, we try not to put ourselves in such a situation. And whatever you can to get out of such a situation, you do. Like, you know, I can see that Beis Hillel would tell you, you know, theoretically, Beis Hillel would say, you know, this is, in a Hanami, you know, usually you can't kill a guy for such a thing. But in this situation, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know. That's a difficult question because we see from Joseph, he made a big mistake. He did this, he seemed to do this.
His tablets.
Tablets, and that was the wrong thing to do. So here too, perhaps, there was nothing to do. You couldn't.
What do you mean we see from Yosef? Which story is it?
Yosef, when he told the...
To not forget him.
Yeah, to not forget him. That was a... Chazal said that was incorrect. Do any of this.
I hear.
Another. So there's many. It's hard to know exactly. Here, also, perhaps...
Saying Anav means a person...
Even though you thought you could offer a carbon to Hashem... It was improper to offer. That could be a hishtaglus, but we're not sure. I'm not sure. That's a proper hishtaglus or not. It could be the wrong hishtaglus. That dafka might have angered Hashem even more, and then the Romans now would have killed everybody. I don't know. So he's being honored, and he realized
that it's from Hashem, and he didn't want to take action
for the good, and therefore we can't go against the halacha. That's one concept of...
But, Anuf. Interesting. I didn't think of that. Rashi definitely doesn't say that either. But,
well,
okay.
In a way, this...
Maybe.
Savlanut.
Maybe he's patient. He's, you know, he's waiting for what Hashem...
And we must...
I hear.
Also, Anuf. It's not a fair. That isn't what
is coming. Okay, I was mamish still bothered by this question. That I was really thinking that the Gemara was being sarcastic. I really had it sad to say that the Gemara doesn't mean that he was an Anav. It means the exact opposite, that he wasn't an Anav. And the Gemara is saying, like, halavai, like, if he would have been an Anav, his anivus, or his lack of anivus, is what destroyed the myth. I was really thinking that that's the Gemara, but it's very difficult to say such a thing. That his lack of anivus was really what brought the destruction. Lemaisa, what you mentioned before really is a medrash in Eicha Rabbah in Perek Gimel Simin Dalet. The medrash in Eicha Rabbah brings down this story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa differently than we have it in the Gemara. In the story in the medrash speaks out that the Rabbanan by the party didn't say anything. It says in specific that this guy, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus, was at the party and he didn't say anything, and he was one of the Rabbanim there. And then it says the whole story, whatever. And the way it said the story, the way the Medrash says the story, it sort of ended at you know, he put the woman and the animal, and then they weren't makrivit. It didn't have this whole discussion of should we be makrivit or should we not offer it, and then a discussion should we kill a guy or should we not kill a guy. The reason when the Mefarshim on the Medrash says, because in the story of the Medrash, the Roman governor sent an emissary with the guy. So even if you killed the guy, the emissary will still tell the king, and then tell the governor, and it won't help you to kill the guy. But Al-Kapun, the Medrash ends off by saying that the anivus of this Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So there it's definitely not talking about him being makbid on the din. There it sounds like from the manager it was talking about the fact that he didn't complain by the party.
Against
the Simus Chama at the party. That's what it sounds like from the manager. But the Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is saying something else. So someone else told me another answer maybe we could say to understand the Gemara a little bit better. This is like a shtickle pilpildik, but when I heard this, I was a little bit happier that the Gemara is not so far off. There's a halacha that when we talk about dinei nefashis, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, I believe, Mishnah Sanhedrin, I think, that when we have dinei nefashis, when we have cases of, when we're trying capital cases of a person who could potentially get the death sentence, so the halacha is poschim min hatzad. We start from the side. What does that mean? It means that when we ask all the different Rabbanim on the Sanhedrin, you know, what's your opinion on this in this case? So we start from the side, from like the least chashuv people, and then we work our way up to the most chashuv people. Why? Because if the most chashuv guy on the Sanhedrin says his opinion, you know, no one's going to have the guts to argue with him. So we start with the lowest guy and then we go up to the highest guy. So the Gra, apparently, I didn't see the Gra inside, but I heard this from a few people. The Gra explains this Gemara saying like this, that the, Rabbi Zechariah ben Akulis, he was the most chashuv person in the Sanhedrin at that point. So when he said not to kill the guy, so no one was going to argue with him to say, yeah, kill him. Okay? Now, really, he shouldn't have spoken up first, because once he speaks up first, no one's going to argue with him. But he was such an anav that he didn't hold himself as if he was the most chashuv person, so he spoke up first. And that's what caused it, that they didn't kill him, and the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. That's how the Gra understands Pshat and Vara. So the anivus wasn't in what he said, the anivus is in the fact that he said it first. So according to that, you could say that really the content of what he said wasn't anivus. There was really kaptonus. He was saying, no, you can't kill him because, you know, then people are going to think that, you know, people are going to think that such a person is chayav misa and he's not really chayav misa, so you can't kill him. Which is being adamant about the halacha, not being flexible. But the fact that he spoke first, that was his anivus. That's the way the Gra explains the Gemara, and I think with that it answers the question. That's a beautiful answer. But I think that really there's a deeper criticism that's going on over here in the Gemara, and that's mamash something that I think is relevant in our times especially. And it sounds like it's the exact opposite of what I was talking about this entire time. Like this. We say that Hillel and Aaron HaKohen, they had a certain degree of flexibility. Anivus, heavy anvuson k'Hillel. A person has to have a certain degree of flexibility. On one hand. On the other hand, someone once asked me, my father when I was a bachur in LA, he asked me, why do you think that the Beis Hamikdash wasn't rebuilt yet? Why are we still in building? What's the main thing that if we fix that, you know, everything will be okay? So I thought about it for a little bit, and I told him that the main thing is we need to know how to balance sinas chinam and chanifus. The problem of sinas chinam on one hand and the problem of chanifus on the other hand. There's an inyan called sinas chinam, which is baseless hatred, and the way to combat that is baseless love, where everyone comes together and is together. On the other hand, when there's baseless love, that brings another problem called chanifus. Which means flattery. I forgot to bring a Gemara Saita with me, but the Mishnah in Saita says, it describes the ceremony of what's called the Hakel, when the king on Motzei Yom Kippur, Motzei Sukkot would get up and read from the Torah. So it describes that ceremony, and it said that usually the king would sit when he does Hakel. Because, you know, a king is allowed to sit in the Beis Hamikdash. So the king would sit when they did Hakel. What it says, that Agrippus, the king Agrippus, when he did Hakel, he stood. Because he recognized that the halacha is that Ein Yeshin Bazar El Malchus Beis Sofer Bilvad. Only kings of the Davidic dynasty could sit in the Beis Hamikdash. Anyone else is not sit in the Beis Hamikdash. Agrippa was not a king of the Davidic dynasty. He was from the Herodian dynasty, from Herod, and Herod wasn't even Jewish pashtus. He was a slave, right? Whatever, he was a slave who had good connections with the Romans. And basically, when the last of the Hashmonaim died, so Herod got himself his father was very prominent amongst the Romans, and he got himself a good position for when the last of the Hashmonaim king died, so he took over as the king. And he wasn't necessarily even Jewish. He took a Jewish wife. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra, and apparently the Gemara says she committed suicide. Josephus seems to say that he had kids with her. I don't know exactly how to answer that, but so his kids, maybe some of his descendants were maybe Jewish, but they definitely had what we call tainted lineage. They weren't, you know, they weren't pure, what we call purebreds, right? So the halacha is that to have a king, it says in the pasuk, you should put upon yourself a king from the midst of your brothers. So the halacha is that a Jewish king has to be Jewish from his father's side and from his mother's side. That's halacha. So Agrippa, he would stand when he did Hakel, when he would read from the Torah, because he recognized that his role as a Jewish king wasn't really the optimal situation of a Jewish king. He wasn't really from the Davidic dynasty. He recognized that he wasn't really what a Jewish king is supposed to be. Gemara says, the Mishnah continues and says that when he would read from the Sefer Torah, right, the king would read from Sefer Devarim. So he would read Parsha Shoftim, and in Parsha Shoftim it says, "Same Tosim Malach Malach Nekerav Achachol." The pasuk we just quoted says that when Agrippa would read that pasuk, he would start crying. He started crying, and all the Jews that were gathered to hear him reading, everyone came for Hakel. So they all said to him, "Don't worry, Agrippa. Achinu Ata. You're our brother. Don't cry. It's okay. It's Beseder." Yeah. Okay, that's what the Mishnah in Masechta Sotah says. Now, who is Agrippa? Rashi defines who Agrippa is in very interesting terms. Chaval, I didn't bring a Gemara, so I can't read it. I can't read the Lashon. But Rashi says, who is Agrippa? Rashi says, he was the king that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in his time. Which is true. He was the last king of the Herodian dynasty when the Romans Mamish came and destroyed Jerusalem. That's what Rashi says. Now, looking to the Gemara. The Gemara says that when the Jews said, Agrippa, when they said, "Achinu Ata, you're our brother," they were obligated to be destroyed. Why? Why are they obligated to be destroyed? Why at that moment were the Jews obligated to be destroyed? Shad is because they did what's called chanifus. They were flattering him. The truth is, the halacha is, he's not supposed to be the king. In the optimal situation, he's not supposed to be the king. And they're saying, no, say there, you're allowed to be the king, achinu ata. That's the problem, chanifas. So, what does this tell us? This tells us that there's an inyan that, you know, not to have sinah, of course, not to have sinah like we're speaking about until now, make shalom between everyone, but on the other hand, not to condone that which is wrong. You're supposed to love everybody, but you're not supposed to say, "Look, you know, you're doing the wrong thing, and I'll let you do the wrong thing." And you know, I accept you have the right to choose what you want. No, you can't flatter the sinners. You can't condone what they're doing. You can't agree with it for the sake of avas chinam. So that balance is, I think, the important thing that we need. If we can fix that, I think that would bring the Beis HaMikdash to on the one hand not have sinas chinam, but also not have chanifus. That's the important thing. So an anav usually is flexible and is accepting of other people and other opinions, but on the other hand, too much anivus, let's say, too accepting is already going to be is going to be you know, a problem. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkilus, right? So the way Rashi says it is that his anivus, the fact that he didn't want to kill this guy, that was the problem. It's the fact that he was too much of an anav. He was too accepting of this guy, even though the guy was a whore. He's mamish putting everyone in sakana, and he's trying to bring a carbon that's a pasul carbon, and he's saying, "No, don't kill him. Don't kill whatever." Even though the Maisa doesn't really answer the question so much, because the Gemara Maisa says that he gave a whole reason, don't kill him because people are going to say the wrong halacha. But the word is that if you learn like Rashi, it's a little bit better. His anivus was that he was accepting of this guy, even though the guy is a horrible sinner, and he's saying, "No, don't kill him." It doesn't work like that. You have to condemn that which needs to be condemned and condone that which needs to be condoned. You can't condone everything. Be'etzem, we also see this with Hillel himself in the story in Masechta Shabbos that we read before. Shammai, the guy came and said, I want to become a ger, but only Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebaalpeh. So Shammai said, get out of here. What did Hillel say? Hillel said, okay, fine, come. And Hillel didn't think to himself, you know, this guy only wants Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebaalpeh, so we'll let him be just a Torah Shebichsav Jew. Forget about Torah Shebaalpeh. That's not what Hillel did. In accepting him, Hillel accepted him and showed him how you also need Torah Shebaalpeh. He didn't say, okay, you want to do that? I'll let you do whatever you want. I'll accept you. No, he said, don't. You can't do whatever you want. take your Torah Shabbos Tav, and I'll also show you that Torah Shabbos Tav is also needed, and convince him by working with him and being flexible about that, but not just accepting him. Flexible doesn't mean accept a universal acceptance. And that's, I think, the important idea over here. But we saw the same thing with Eliyahu HaNavi / Pinchas. That on the one hand, Eliyahu HaNavi's role, we said, is to bring Shalom Ba'olam. On the other hand, Pinchas was a big kanai. He killed Zimri. You want to say he's the guy who's bringing peace by killing people? I'm not saying that you should go out and kill people, but I'm saying sometimes bringing peace doesn't mean accepting people, but it means criticizing and condemning and saying, you know, telling people that you're doing the wrong thing. You don't have to do it in a fighting way or whatever, unless it's mamish necessary. But that's Pinchas is both on one hand bringing shalom as a Talmud of Aaron, but he's also a kanoi.
It's a mitzvah. I don't know if it's a mitzvah. I remember reading this very recently that if you don't up on something,
yeah,
that you have a right to, and you have a view to speak up on. It's now you are doing.
Yeah, you get the vera. It's Ramban. Ramban Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk says,
So the
Ramban says two pshatim. The famous pshat that everyone says from the Ramban is you should rebuke people, but don't do it like in a way that's gonna like embarrass him or do an avera. So do rebuke, but don't do an avera.
Right.
And that's the famous pshat.
But the
Ramban says another pshat. You rebuke people, and by rebuking him, you won't come to leisis alochim. You won't be carrying that avera. That's not your acharyus anymore. You rebuked him; that's his problem now. Now it's not my problem. But if you don't rebuke him, it's your problem.
I just said it's not the chait that you're going to receive that you didn't rebuke him. It's the actual chait that they're doing that you didn't come to say. That's what you get.
Okay.
You get the onus for that. Also, I mean.
The lashon of the Gemara is ish of a chashli. It's from the teichah of parshas Bechukesai. V'chashli ish ba'achiv. The person is nitbas b'chetei shel achiv. He's caught in the avera of his friend. So it sounds like it's the avera of his friend.
Yeah.
It's not just the avera of not rebuking him. What time is it?
Read a bunch of things. 11.
11. Okay, we'll stop over here. There's 12 pshatim in Rabbi Yomi Izmir in the Machlekes Beishamay Yisrael about Shemayim Nivru Tchila, Eretz Nivru Tchila. I can really stand here and go through all 12 pshatim and say some of them bekitzer and different ha'aris that I have on them, but for the sake of going weiter, we're just going to stop over here. Next week we'll just continue onwards. So if you want to look at Rabbi Yomi Izmir, I can make a copy or something for you.
Yeah, okay. That's very
interesting. All right.
Very interesting, but it's
good Shabbos. Thank you for staying.